Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Discover the Finger Lakes, and formerly on WYSL 1040 AM. As of about 2 days ago, I pulled my radio shows from the station, and basically because of Facebook posts that they've been putting up and refused to rein in the types of posts that they were putting up. And I guess the station has said on their website that they worked hard to try to keep me from leaving the station. And it's true, they offered a few things, some incentives to try to keep me on the station, but they refused to deal with their Facebook posts, which I don't want to have anything to do with, and was kind of concerned about what they would post next. I didn't want to worry about what would happen next with their posts. And you know, this was on the station's Facebook page, which you know, is part of their public image. And that's an image I don't want to have anything to do with. So I'm no longer on the station, and I appreciate especially my engineer Jeff Miller for many years now. Has been my engineer for the weekend shows, and he's a nature lover, music, huge music lover, antiques lover, old cars, really my main regret in dealing with him over these years is that I really only have been able to talk to him for a few seconds during bumper music, because I would always do the breaks live, and otherwise, I would have had 3-4 minutes to chat with him, and really look forward to getting together with him in the near future and talking about all these things that we have in common, and maybe going for a hike on some of the trails that he helps to maintain. So I appreciate his work and coming in on holidays and just really every weekend. He would take maybe 2 weekends off a year. I think he took 1 weekend off each year to go to a big toy show with antique toys down in Pennsylvania or something. But 95% of the weekends he was there as the engineer for my radio shows, and I really appreciate that. I'm excited about the freedom that doing podcasts gives me. Right now, the shows are available as audio on my website, and we'll add podcast links this week. I thought I had at least 4 weeks to do this transition. I gave the station 8 weeks notice that I'd be leaving, and that was this past Monday that I gave them that notice, and they were concerned about what I was going to say on the radio, given how upset I was about their Facebook posts, and so I had offered to leave immediately if they weren't going to change those Facebook posts. And they took me up on that. So so the audio is here on the web. And look forward to your comments. You can find more details about my departure on my Facebook post. And I really appreciate the dozens and dozens of comments from people that I've known for just a few weeks, some of them, a few months, many for years, lots for decades, some for many decades. And those comments mean a lot. And, we're facing a challenging time in our country. And I want to be part of what's positive that's going to happen. And I don't want to be a part of the what's been, I see, as very negative. And so I'm looking forward to being perhaps more active, more vocal, and not having the constraints of the radio station that I had before. And, we all have things we need to work on in terms of all aspects of our lives, whether it's political, economic, social, etc. And I was somewhat constrained over the last couple of weeks to that I couldn't talk about Black Lives Matter, I believe in Black Lives Matter. I'm in support of the protesters, and we need to change what's happening in this country in many ways. This is perhaps a time when we're ripe for change, when it can happen on a very, very significant level. And I'm concerned that the pandemic is going to get worse, and it's going to be hard to sustain the pressure for change in social and racial injustice. And that's, we've got to do that. We've got to do both. It's not an either or. It's not which is more important. We're going to have to do both. This is a crucial time for the United States. And it's disturbing to see what's happening. I was and continue to be disturbed by WYSL 1040's posts on Facebook. I think that is a great example of what's wrong right now with our country, except that there are plenty of people that see what I stand for as being what's wrong with this country. I think we should be able to agree on what's right and what's wrong. That has become more difficult. Often leadership comes from the top, whether that's the principal at a school, the CEO of a company, or the president of a country. And that leadership is woefully lacking right now, as the leadership is declaring victory in this pandemic while 21 or 23 states have rising numbers, and states like Arizona are reinstituting emergency measures for hospitals because the numbers are growing too fast. This is not time to declare victory on the pandemic. It's time to be more careful, to ramp up testing, to do the contact tracing, and wear masks, things that the leadership of this country doesn't see as a priority. So I've been pleading over the last several months on my radio shows to follow the science, to listen to the epidemiologists, to wear masks, to socially distance, to be careful. And New York State is, not because of me, but because the leadership of Governor Cuomo has done really well at lowering these numbers to points where we can reopen, and keeping those numbers low while we're reopening. The next couple weeks are absolutely crucial in continuing this reopening and in saving businesses. We can't afford to go backwards. We can't afford to lose more lives. And I've pleaded many times for people to listen to the scientists. We need to do that in terms of climate change, but those effects are relatively small now and will grow immensely in years and decades. The effects of the coronavirus and COVID-19 are, in contrast, almost immediate, and we can't afford to wait. We can't afford to be lax. So, as we look forward to places like the Genesee Country Village and Museum reopening, one of my favorite places, the museums, the places that are part of Phase 4 reopening, looking to expand the number of people that can be in restaurants, so it isn't limited to just 50%. We've got to keep this reopening on a smooth and keep the infection rates low, and that is not going to be easy to do. It appears from what the White House is saying that this is easy. I think the White House said, and actually it was President Trump in particular who said that fixing racial injustice was going to be quick and easy, and that's someone who doesn't understand the problem if that's what they believe. So, again, be careful, be vigilant, wear masks, and get engaged in our political system, and vote. It's not more crucial than it is right now. It hasn't been more crucial than it is right now, and the future is at stake. I really see it that way. Oh, comments and questions, you can email me anytime, michael@saverlife.com. I originally started this show, this hour following the food show, as a travel show in general. It was called The World Next Door. I still like that name. And it tended to cover local things, but wasn't exclusively local. And I also wanted to cover the Canada, Ontario, which I really saw as part of our region, kind of like the Pacific Northwest. I really see the Ontario wine region as linked to New York, that we would, that all of us would be more effective at marketing internationally if we got together and worked together as a broader region. New York State has some incredible areas like the Finger Lakes and Western New York and Hudson Valley. But a lot of people who live here aren't very aware of all the fantastic wineries. A similar distance from me here in Rochester, but driving straight west on the Niagara Peninsula in Canada. Phenomenal food, phenomenal wineries, world-class destinations. And I really saw that as something that we should link to. But eventually, and really just partly because of sheer sponsorships, it was clear that the Finger Lakes wine industry and the wineries of New York, Arrowhead Spring Vineyards has come on as a sponsor of my wine show, that the wineries were a driving force in the economy of our region and New York State in general, and that really ended up changing the name to Discover the Finger Lakes, keeping it a travel show, but making it more focused here on our region. And Rochester is part of the Finger Lakes, and at least in terms of the tourism designation. There, and Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate has a fabulous post on how you define upstate. And boy, that's a mess. Not because of him, but because of all the different definitions of upstate that he brings together and highlights. But the Finger Lakes, this came up a couple of years ago when I saw a report from somewhere that said that there were maybe 100 wineries in the Finger Lakes. And I thought, well, that's wrong. I mean, there's at least 130 in the Finger Lakes. And this list of 100 wineries didn't include wineries like Dr. Frank. Well, that's bizarre. How can you have a list of wineries in the Finger Lakes and not include Dr. Frank? And looking into it, it's because the economic divisions within New York State divide the Finger Lakes wine region into Southern Tier and more the main part of Northern Finger Lakes. So I think it was Yates County that was part of the Southern Tier. And so these economic designations of New York State were set up before the wine region became such a driving force. Now it really doesn't make sense, but I guess when they first set it up, perhaps it did, or perhaps politicians wanted a piece of the Finger Lakes wine region, both the Southern Tier politicians and the greater Finger Lakes politicians, and so they divided it up. I don't know what the history of that was. I probably ought to do some research on that soon, because it may have been quite a while ago, and the people who negotiated that may not be alive anymore. But strange thing. It was really disturbing to see that designation and realize that it's not thought of economically as one wine region in New York State as the Finger Lakes. But Rochester, again, different divisions of the state, depending on groupings of counties, depending on whether it's economics or tourism, Rochester is the gateway city for the Finger Lakes. We are part of the Finger Lakes. Often people say we're going to drive to the Finger Lakes, and they're thinking about, you know, Seneca Lake and, you know, literally the Finger Lakes, but we are in the Finger Lakes region. In terms of tourism, and we are the gateway airport for the Finger Lakes. If someone from France or someone from California or wherever is going to fly to the Finger Lakes, more than likely they're going to fly to Rochester's airport. And we are the gateway city for our region. And so that's one of the reasons I've been such a big advocate for local wines in our local restaurants in Rochester, because when visitors come to visit the Finger Lakes and to visit the colleges, visit the businesses, whatever, but they stop in Rochester, perhaps stay in a hotel, go to some restaurants, and they don't realize they're in a fine wine region because there are very few local wines on the wine list. Right now, I'm not focusing much on that because restaurants are just trying to survive and wineries are just trying to survive. We'll get back to percentage of local wines on wine lists in a year or two, probably. It's not going to be anytime soon, but that is crucial for our region, and it's because Rochester is part of the Finger Lakes. So Discover the Finger Lakes is been the name of the show for many years now. Started the World Next Door about 1998. So 22 years ago, started this travel show. Tomorrow I'll add some content for my wine show, which it's also changed a lot over the years. It started out as, I started out doing a wine show. I actually went to, this was when I was still on Hot Talk 1280, I went to the station manager and said, I'd like to do a wine show, can I buy some more time to do that? And they said, well, that's a terrible idea. No one's going to want to do a wine show. But they let me do it. I'm not sure why, because they started their own wine show a few months later after that. So that was a bit odd, but it doesn't really matter. I think that was when they started Don Bombase's show on the Sunday nights, maybe, that I don't think he does it anymore, but it was on for quite a few years. So they did let me start the wine show, which is great, but I didn't want to, and I wanted to do that on Sundays, partly because 3 hours on Saturday was enough. I didn't want to do 4 hours on Saturday, and there was some time available on Sunday, but I didn't want to do just 1 hour of wine on Sundays. So I had heard Ed Cornwell interviewed on WXXI and several different radio stations about antiques. He was a fascinating person. Loved his voice. I loved the way he treated people. Just really enjoyed listening to him. And so actually, my my parents and my grandparents were both antiques appraisers, kind of as a second career, and so I've been exposed to antiques and history, and I'm fascinated by history in general since growing up in Rome, New York, where Clinton's Ditch was begun. The Erie Canal was dug east and west from Rome, New York. And I still have the Erie Canal Village there in Rome and Fort Stanwix. So for many reasons, connected to history for a long, long time. And, you know, so I thought maybe I could do an antique show. And Ed could appraise things on the radio, which he did for the occasional interviews on other stations. He wasn't on regularly on other stations, maybe, you know, a couple times a year, well, three or four different times over the course of a year, but not very often. So, but it's hard to get a hold of. It's hard. He didn't, his number's not listed. He passed away a while ago, so he is unfortunately no longer with us. But his number was not available. I had to call someone that knew him to get his number, and or to give him my number. And I think then he called me, and I said, you know, Adam, I was thinking about doing a radio show about antiques to complement this hour of wine show that I'm starting, and loved hearing your voice on the radio, and you know, we should get together, and would you like to get together and talk about this? And he said, no, I'll just do it. You know, he had no idea who I was, and agreed to start this antique show on a weekly basis on Sunday mornings, and we did that for 4 or 5 years. And I have all these old shows recorded, and I've been digitizing them from cassette tapes, and shows how old these shows were that I've been doing, and some of those are available or will be available on my website in the near future. Because really, you know, the prices on those antiques, yeah, those change with time, but the history behind those antiques, the questions he would ask are timeless, and I think kind of fascinating to listen to, even though it was many years ago that we did the show. And so I did that probably for about 5 years, and then he had a sudden heart attack and passed away at 61. A huge loss, obviously for his family, but for our knowledge of local history. He was, but also world history and antiques, was just amazing. And fond memories of working with him. So after he passed away, I think I continued doing interviews with historians, and obviously I was not going to appraise any antiques. But then at that point, I'm not sure the date of the Fast Ferry, but the Fast Ferry started to maybe be proposed or was launched maybe, and I decided to start a radio show, or switch the antique show into a show about Toronto and the Ontario wine region. I thought that would be a good complement to the first hour on wine, an hour on wine in general, which tended to focus on the Finger Lakes, and then an hour on wine, which would tend to focus on Ontario and Canada and Toronto restaurants. And we had this Fast Ferry, which it wasn't that fast. It was the not so fast ferry, and it was really a lemon of a ship. Diesel was a terrible choice, and 9/11 happened soon after, or just before they launched the ferry. That changed everything in terms of travel and trucking and lots of factors. And then the SARS, that coronavirus appeared, and Toronto had a number of cases. People wouldn't go to Toronto. It was just a devastating time for anyone trying to operate a ferry between Rochester and Toronto. So for tons of reasons, that ferry failed. These big diesel engines on it, it was the wrong ship at the wrong time, but a good idea. And hopefully it'll come back at some point in a more forward-thinking, realistic form without all these other side disasters that it made it really impossible to continue in the long run. So I went on the ferry twice. I loved it. Loved that connection to Toronto. I think it made Rochester a better place to live, you know, a more valuable place to live, to be that connected to the most culturally diverse city in the world. Toronto is an amazing city. And if we'd had a hydrofoil fast ferry that wasn't intended to take trucks and maybe not even cars, the hydrofoil could, the small one that was proposed, maybe at one point, but after the quote unquote fast ferry, we get to Toronto like 60 minutes from Rochester. Now that's a fast ferry, 60 minutes. That would have been pretty cool. You can drive there in 2.5 hours if traffic is not held up, and it usually is at some point for half an hour, an hour. So it's, 3 hours really at best usually to get to Toronto. But this was, 60-minute hydrofoil ride, that would have been, that would have stuck, I think. And people were saying, well, why would anyone want to come to Rochester? There's lots of reasons to come here. One of the winery owners in Ontario was telling me that he comes to Rochester fairly frequently instead of going to Toronto because it's cheaper here, even with the discount, Canadian dollar being discounted 30%, it's still cheaper to come to Rochester than Toronto, which is an expensive big city. And then we have all these golf courses. We have an astounding number of golf courses. Bristol Mountain is actually a better place to ski than anywhere else within a similar distance to Toronto. There are lots of reasons that this could be a destination for people from Toronto, and it will be more so in the future, I think. So again, I transitioned from antiques and wine to Toronto and the Niagara wine region. And then once the fast ferry ended, I decided to go with just 2 hours of wine, still covering Ontario. I miss covering Toronto. They have some amazing food. But it also just became more difficult for me to get away for trips to Toronto to interview the chefs and to visit the restaurants. And I decided to concentrate more here in our region. There's plenty going on in the Finger Lakes wine region to cover on 2 hours of wine. So again, I'm looking forward to the future. I'm really not upset at all about leaving radio at this point. Might come back at some point, another station, but I'm excited to explore podcasting and the shows, and my previous shows will continue adding older content to the website. And a huge thank you to Chris Clemens of Exploring Upstate, who reimagined and reinvented my website several months ago. And that really gave me the possibility to leave the station and focus on online shows. So check out his Exploring Upstate blog, follow him on Facebook and Instagram. He's a pretty awesome photographer too, and covers upstate in all its various forms. Really kind of incredible the range of things that he covers. So exploringupstate.com, check that out. We'll be back next week. I'll be back tomorrow, actually, with 2 hours of wine here at SaverLife.com. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's SaverLife.com.